Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
Let's talk about when you're on a trail that you hate. Okay,
yeah.
Well, first I want to say, like, obviously we love trails. We are on them all the time. What would cause you to feel like absolute hatred toward a trail?
Not being advertised as false advertising. Mm-hmm. Like, definitely.
Fair.
Because I've learned that communication is very important to me in the last year. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, false advertising. Definitely exhaustion will cause me to just, like, even if it's, like, not a bad trail, I will just rip it to shreds because I'm tired. Mm. Very uneven, rocky ground.
Oh,
that's
yes.
An absolute no. I'm just like, oh, my ankles will hate me from here on in. What about you?
Yeah, I think it's all circumstantial for the most part. However, yeah, the rocky ground in particular. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, it's not like I'd rather deal with scree, and scree meaning like little tiny pebbles.
Mm-hmm.
Then deal with like a ton of big rocks just sort of tossed and like randomly there, right?
Yeah.
I'd rather walk through mud. I'd rather walk through puddles of water, but just the rocks are just the worst. Mm-hmm. Like you have to literally be very intentional about where you put your feet every single step.
The footfall is very important.
The other thing that will cause me to just hate a trail is grade of incline. I mean, like, it's not like we can necessarily go in and renovate trails, right?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, but incline grade or even decline grade,
mm-hmm.
if it's too much and too steep, like so difficult to like put one foot in front of another going either direction, I'm mad. And I am like, and I'm cussing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you become like, you know, those Snickers commercials where you're like angry. And then, like, an angry celebrity, and then they give you a Snickers, and then you're just a normal person again.
I've not seen those commercials. Maybe I've been under a rock on
that. I guess you have.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Who's the celebrity that's been in one of those?
Danny DeVito, I think, has done it.
I don't know her.
I'm trying to think who else off the top of my head.
I mean, it kind of makes sense, because that is the idiomatic expression, right? Just like eat a Snickers and like you'll feel better, right?
Yeah.
And I do have to say, sometimes on trails,
not a sponsor.
No, not a sponsor, but sometimes on trails I will, if I
eat
something
yes,
or even sitting and just being
recharge
still for 5 minutes or even 3 minutes, it makes all the difference in the world for me. That may not make a difference for other people, but I do know the things that I need to do to be restorative for myself. And sometimes that is eat something. And then also, you know, cuss about what's happening. Mm-hmm, that does make me feel better.
Yeah. Eat glass and die, tramp.
Eat dirt and die, tramp.
Oh, it's dirt.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national park.
Are you a fire there?
at the national park. At the national park. Follow you, I'll follow you there.
So we had lunch at that overlook, and it was a stunning view as the clouds came in and out. We are now continuing on toward the Boot Canyon Junction. We'll be getting there momentarily and then continuing on the Boot Canyon Trail. And it's still this like burned out hill of burned trees with the light green tall grasses. That's right.
We would like to acknowledge that while hiking and visiting the land, also known as Big Bend National Park, that we were on the traditional and stolen land of the Humanos, Cuhucatan, Mescalero Apache, Lyons Apache, and Chizos people.
Okay, so let's recap. This is part two of a loop in Big Bend National Park. It is the South Rim Trail that we're working with here today, mm-hmm. or that we're hiking on in this episode.
Yes.
We were pretty intentional about recording quite a bit while we were on this, mm-hmm. which is why there's so much on the trail recordings yep. in these episodes.
Yeah. You can hear what we heard too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So this is a multifaceted, multi-sectioned loop that kind of gets said to be like to do the South Rim, mm-hmm. which means yeah. you got to climb some epic trails in order to actually
there.
Get yeah. the South Rim trail to do it. We had already hiked about 6 miles and change mm-hmm. at this point in time. We had done about 2,000 feet of elevation gain at this moment. And we knew we would hike about 12 miles this day. So we had about 5.5 miles left on this trail. After having lunch, how are you feeling?
Good. I was great. Like a lot of what we talked about in the last episode was that there was elevation, but it didn't really feel that it was super taxing. And the views, you know, that always keeps me going. So, and the weather, my lover.
It's true. Your mm-hmm. ex-lover mm-hmm. that you check up on constantly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we originally had wanted to do this other section of trail called the East Rim Trail.
Yep.
Essentially, the South Rim becomes the East Rim and mm-hmm. it loops around. It would make the loop longer.
Yeah.
However, the East Rim Trail was closed because
peregrine falcons were nesting.
That's right. And we didn't want to bother them.
Well, you couldn't bother them.
No, it was closed.
Yeah.
I mean, as in the park didn't want people bothering mm-hmm. them. So we left the peregrine falcons alone mm-hmm. as per the park's orders. And we knew that we were going to soon have to make a turn onto the Boot Canyon Trail.
But more Old Western-y, please.
And soon we were going to have to make a turn on the Boot Canyon Trail.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
The grass against the sky is so cool.
Yeah, it is. It's a real contrast. We did make the turn for the Boot Canyon Trail. We're on it now. There's quite a bit of descent heading in this direction. I mean, quite a bit. It's descending, but it's gradual. Right there at the junction, there's like a cliff edge that is amazing. You can see like off the side of the South Rim. It's unbelievable. And we saw two common ravens. And the first one, we saw it swoop in with its talons out and down. We were like, oh, what's... And it's sort of like riding the wave of the wind that was happening. And then, Mike, what happened? What did that raven do?
So the raven landed for a minute, and then we were taking in the view, and the raven took off with a pretty big yellow snake in its beak. And that was like, okay, Big Bend has not come to play, and the animals here haven't either.
No. No, they've not. And then we saw another one flying around. While we sit on this trail right now, up ahead, 3 Mexican jays just landed on a tree. Because Mexican jays travel in groups. They're social birds. They love each other. And they'll probably just hang out there and not even move as we walk by because they're kind of fearless.
Okay, so we got to start with this. Common ravens are my favorite bird. I love them. They're just so special to me. They can do no wrong in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
They are my precious angels that can do no wrong. And they were all over Big Bend National Park. Croaking right and left.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
Croaking right and left.
So as we were approaching the...
The juncture, basically. There was another overlook here, essentially, off to the right. Coming off of our sit down for lunch, we didn't have to walk that far to get here. And we knew that we were about to jut off onto the Boot Canyon Trail to the left. To the right, there's this overlook, and there are a few other people standing here. This was like, obviously, people had come up the other side, had come up Pinnacles, because some people were passing us going the way we had just came. And we're looking over this overlook, and we kind of get close to the edge, but then we step back.
And we see this raven fly and down into...
Yeah, they were kind of riding the wind down, like gliding down.
It was just gliding down.
Kind of like land pretty much almost where we had been standing. We're just like looking up at the sky, kind of taking everything in. And the raven takes off, but with something in its mouth.
No, it was in its talons.
Oh, it was...
Right?
Was
no, it
I think
mouth?
It was in his mouth. Yeah.
It was in... Yeah. Yeah. And it was in the mouth.
And we're
definitely.
Like, what is that? And it was absolutely a snake.
It was a bright yellow snake.
Yeah.
In its mouth. Not a giant snake. Small snake, but it was fully in its mouth.
Yeah.
And it flew right up over us. And you...
clocked it.
You clocked it immediately.
Yeah.
We actually got it on film.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh my God, that raven has a snake in its mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly did.
Yeah. This also was just like, we were pointing this out to other people that were right there. And this woman was like, oh my God, I was standing right there. I can't believe it. Like,
I didn't know. Yeah. We showed her the video.
Yeah.
A little bit of context about this little yellow snake is I went to the visitor center later after this hike to try and figure out what the snake was. The ranger and I looked through the entire snake book that they have at the visitor center because they have this binder that they pull out to look through stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we could not identify this little snake. We mm-hmm. couldn't. He was like, there aren't yellow snakes here. And I was like, well.
That was a yellow snake.
I have a bright yellow snake on video mm-hmm. in this raven's mouth. And it is definitely a snake.
Yeah.
So we're not sure. Maybe it was a young snake that like later changes color. Sure. You know what? I don't know.
Yeah. But we just took it as an omen. Mm-hmm.
Hi, Mexican Jays. Y'all are so pretty. You know it. Mm-hmm. Feel free to hang out with us anytime. Ah, that bright blue cerulean is just so striking. I wish everyone an experience where you can hike near Mexican jays because they're just so beautiful and so friendly. Okay, so we're still in Boot Canyon. We just saw two lovely gentlemen.
Kindred saw.
Who shared a kindred softness with the two of us. We had some lovely discussion about Provincetown trips and also being on the dance floor in Provincetown and also hiking because apparently they hike national parks too. But there is a raven flying around up above that we heard croaking a moment ago. I'm wondering if we're going to get it again. But Boot Canyon is like, we're definitely down at the bottom of Boot Canyon. Oh, great. Some incline. Yay. It'll be fine. But yeah, there's definitely, it's warmer now, but it's not hot, like unbearably hot. Thank God. Yesterday was pretty brutal. Today is okay. It's okay right now. And yeah, I guess we're not going to get that croaking raven again. There's some other birds making some sounds, though.
So after, you know, taking a minute to laugh about the fact that that just happened with something you don't see every day, birds flying with snakes in their mouths, specifically ravens, because I didn't think that ravens were carnivorous like that.
Oh, girl. Honey,
but you
know. They eat smaller birds. They go into birds' nests and eat their eggs.
Well.
And they will eat the young.
But they're your precious angels.
Oh my God. They are my precious angels. You cannot angels say anything wrong about them.
Angels of music.
They are. They are. They're ferocious dark sisters.
La la. Mm-hmm. Anyway, after that time, we take a minute, we regroup, and we head down to the juncture for Boot Canyon, which is literally right there. And immediately it's decline. It's not a heavy decline, but it is like we're trending down. And this is an interesting section, very different from everything else because it's meadowy. It's very clear that we're headed down. So it's funny, like you're on like a little bit of a slope, but it's clear that you're heading into the canyon, like on this slope. And the trail is kind of cut through this taller grass. There's dead trees here. It started to become like we'd fully lost sun again that we had had for most of our time. It had started to become kind of gray at this point. And we just basically wind our way down and it feels just like we are zooming through this section.
Yeah, I was definitely keeping an eye out like everywhere we stepped
for
snakes, additional snakes.
Yeah. Because we didn't really see
that raven found a snake. There are more snakes around here.
Yeah, that definitely set the alarms off for you. But yeah, I mean, I think we were just like the decline here, plus like the fact that it was pretty, the trail was pretty manageable. Like it was a clear trail and we were just kind of jazzed about this whole loop experience. We were just like, okay, great. Like zoom, 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 zoom. And it was also really kind of our first major downhill on the trail.
While we're making our way down this section, we run into these two other hikers who we see them, they're passing us and they're headed up.
Yeah, and we're headed down.
And they very casually start conversation with us, and it's these two gentlemen. We stand there, we engage for a minute, and like it immediately becomes clear
that all of the queers in Big Bend are in one area.
Are in one place. The kindred softness was detected.
The most happening club in Big Bend National Park is Boot Canyon. It has
Canyon.
Everything. Ravens with snakes in their mouths. Gaze on the trail.
Fog.
Dead trees.
Tall grass. Yeah, we immediately detect and not necessarily detect, but this was something we all shared with each other pretty quickly because we were talking about like, oh, where are y'all
summer?
Where are you from? Right. And so we ended up talking about Provincetown. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you've never been to Provincetown.
Right. Shortly, that will change. Because soon
it will be Halloween. And we're chatting with them.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like we had such a lovely conversation with them. They hike in national parks too.
Mm-hmm.
They like they go on trips like one or two times a year and they just meet up and pick a place and then they hike the whole time.
Yeah.
And after they walked away, I was like, what is that?
Like how a does vision that feel of our future.
To look into your future. And I was like, what a beautiful future that would be. Got it. And I'm like, I absolutely want that to be our future. Mm-hmm. And so, hell yeah, I'm here for that.
Yeah, yeah. And with that, let's take our first break.
Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Are playing I Don't Get the Appeal again.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start with mine.
Great.
You ready?
Yeah.
I don't get the appeal of giant pillar-sized candles that exist for the intention to not light them.
Oh.
I cannot stand this. To me, this is like silk flowers world for me.
Sure.
I'm just like, no. Like, I actually do understand some people who want to have faux plants in their space.
Sure.
Great. I get what faux plants are doing, right? I understand why you want them. I'm always an advocate for real plants if that's something you can take care of, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't think candles should exist unless the intention is to light them.
Right.
But this whole, like, let's put a pillar candle in a vase and just leave it on a table. I'm out.
It's a hurricane vase is what
it
is.
I'm like, what? No. And the fact that you won't light them makes me insane. The mm-hmm. point, I'm sorry, if a candle exists, the point of the candle is to light it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And to pass its light now, to other candles.
Mm-hmm. I do like, I don't mind like faux candles that you can like, that are electronic.
Sure, yeah.
Those are great. There's so many purposes
that,
for those.
That dance and they look like they're actually lit.
Yeah, exactly.
Where the wicks like move.
I'm down. Yeah. Or you can change the color of the pillar or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm into that.
Mm-hmm.
But no, things that are candles that are not intended to be lit, I can't.
Okay. Well, I hear you there. I think that's like, it's like buying something to just look at it when it has an intentional use.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's silly.
So silly. And what about you? What do you not get the
appeal of? Well, I'm going to take a big swipe at the gay community.
Oh, swipe. We have to be critical of ourselves.
I don't get the appeal of trendy gyms that cost a lot of money that you go to just to be seen. And when you can, you know, do all that work somewhere else. It's basically like, I feel like a lot of it is just like ego, and it's also like
status
and
also hookup culture.
Yeah, yeah. So it is like something that is just like, it's so much money. I feel like, isn't the Equinox gym owner like terrible? Like,
oh,
as far as like donating money to like awful people. I feel like there's that.
Well, I feel like we have stumbled upon like a business model that exists for people who
want to just be hot.
Right.
And like that's all they care about.
That's essentially what, right.
Yeah.
Or like the workout is the secondary to the reason they are coming to this gym and engaging with this gym or this business.
Yeah.
It's to be seen.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit like, oh God, is this what we're living our lives for? Some people do.
Some people do, yeah.
Some people do, right? I feel like we gotta have a healthy perspective on that to be like know where your ego falls and know when you're an offender of the like, I just wanna be here to be seen, right? At least know about it.
Sure.
Know when you're doing it. And
if
you're
and
doing
maybe
that,
some people are self-aware enough to
to be like,
that.
Yeah, I want to be seen at the gym and this is what I want and blah, 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 and whatever. But, you know, I can't with the amount of money people pay for a gym membership.
When just to be seen.
Actually get the same amenities elsewhere for way cheaper.
Yeah. And that's what you don't get the appeal of.
So we are in, we're still in Boo Canyon now, and we've gotten to this part. So something that is true for us this trip is we've been very good about sunscreen. Whew. But the sunscreen we've been putting on has been getting into our eyes, and while it doesn't sting, it definitely makes us cry. So that's happening now. But there is this beautiful ledge that is part of this Boot Canyon Trail, and it's got some dark gray like rock that it slopes down to the left to a riverbed that has some water in it, that's got a lot of algae in it, but it's mostly a very dry riverbed.
The whole trail here has been, like, really cool to kind of wind around and in. And I'm glad that we're going down it, as we've seen many people that have come up from Pinnacles and say, don't do that. You will have an easier time going down Pinnacles than you will have going up it towards the South Rim Trail. So it feels a lot like Sunrift Gorge in Glacier. We definitely passed through a lot of sections that felt like the Witch's Forest in yes. Wizard of Oz. But
I turn back if I were you. That Witch's Forest.
But this is really great. It's just like this whole long trail loop is such a diversity of environments. It just is so beautiful. And it's perfect to do it today because it's not that hot.
Praise.
So at this point, you know, after encountering our future selves, we're sort of in this, we're now in the, like, the canyon. We have kind of careened down this meadow and into this canyon area. This is when we realize that we are on that trail that we were seeing from the other side of the canyon when we were kind of at the apex point of South Rim.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And we talk about that in the previous episode. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is a very, again, sweeping area. We're back in the same area. It's just like, you know, sweeping openness to the right and to the left. We're continuing to hike along a ledge, but it's not like a ledge with a drop off. It's a ledge with a slope off.
Mm-hmm. So much of the side of the loop has such great kind of like, this is where it feels like just like totally witchy. Like Stevie Nicks should just be like in a field with billowy fabric, like blowing, singing Seven Wonders. But it also has some very similar feels to the Sliding Sands Trail in Haleakala. And I think in general, that can be said about this trail in the fact that the landscape changes so much. And here we are in a very different landscape again. So there's a lot that has shifted here.
Okay, so we've made it to the other side of Boot Canyon. We're right next to Boot Cabin. It looks like this abandoned structure. But I don't know, it may not be abandoned. People may stay in there. I don't know. It does look like a campsite, though. And a place to tie up horses. It's a little warmer on the trail now as we make our way to the junction with the Pinnacles and Emery Peak. Oh, what is this? Oh, a horse. It is a horse corral.
Real quick, we're just talking about food, everybody. And yo, graham crackers. Oh,
yeah.
Ain't nothing
better. That's where
she's at.
Martha Graham Cracker.
Let me tell you something. Graham crackers are what I call my bad news food. As in, I have a lot of them, but your bad news food is like if someone has to share with you bad news.
Mm-hmm. This would be a good game. This
I
is
think
like
we've
a
played it before,
game
actually.
Here.
Yeah. But yeah, like if someone has to share bad news with you, what food can they bring you so that you can eat it while you receive
while
the bad
you sob.
News? And like somehow it hurts less because you have this
somehow
food.
Somehow heartache feels good in a place
correct.
Like this.
And graham crackers are that for me.
Be tater tots for me, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if ever salty. I have to show up and tell you bad news, I'm going to show up with a plate of tater tots.
Yeah,
and be like,
make it a bucket.
Bucket of tater tots.
I need a bucket of tots. After winding down kind of along this kind of very creepy, witchy sort of section, we get to the next section of the loop, which is essentially Boot Canyon. This now becomes the ledge that we didn't have before, where we have peaks to our left and there is a vast openness to our right. Now, it's not narrow, so there's trail to maneuver and move upon here. It's clear that we are basically on the other side of the peaks that we had seen as we were hiking up Laguna Meadow. It's very different over here. Again, it's been different every section. We just said it's similar to Sliding Sands.
Part of the reason
changes.
We love this trail is because it's so different.
As we're hiking, we're curious how this section became named Boot Canyon. Was it the shape of the canyon itself? Are we referring to a use of the word boot that we are unfamiliar with?
And then here in this section, we kind of sort of got an answer to this question, perhaps. Also, this was where we were still talking about the potential to do Emery Peak.
Mm-hmm.
Because Emery Peak is
we're
the
not,
tallest
not
peak
near
in
Emery
the
yet, but we're talking about it still.
We're talking about it because it's the tallest peak in the Chisos. It would have added 3.5 miles to our trail this day, mm-hmm. or to our loop this day, because it would be 1.75 up, and we knew it would be more incline.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So we were thinking about it. We decided, we were like, you know what?
We're game time decision.
We will decide when we get there, mm-hmm. however we feel when we are there.
So we're still on this canyon trail, which is proving to be longer. It feels longer than it looks. But there is this very cool formation in the distance. It looks like this...
It looks like an upside-down boot, kind of.
An upside-down boot, just... And maybe that's where it gets the name. I don't know. Like, just, like, sticking up on a rock or balancing on top of a rock formation with just, like, more peaks and hills in the distance. There's a little bit of uphill right now. And not loving it. We're still not yet to the Pinnacles Emery Peak Junction, but...
But I think those could also be the Pinnacles, you know? Those rock formations, maybe that's why the trail has the name it has.
That's what we're thinking. So we will see. Onward and hopefully downward.
Okay, so we finally see the thing that is what looks like a boot.
Yeah, it's a geologic...
Landmark,
yeah.
Yeah. But what I love is, like, it looks like a boot on a leg that is, like, leaned back and, like, kicking up into the air.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very high-kick, fabulous boot. A kinky boot, if you will.
Mm-hmm. A kinky boot. And so, yeah, as we continue to hike, we realize that, oh, hang on a second. We're not going straight anymore. We're hooking a left. And this is where we get some incline that is not what we wanted right
now.
No.
Mm-hmm. We were mad.
Yeah.
We were mad to get this incline.
We were like, okay, I think the wall has started to come. Like, this is what I started to think at this point, because we were like, no, what?
Yeah.
And it was kind of weird because we kind of went up into, it was sort of like a little bit of a canyon.
A little bit going up here and
to the left.
Well, again, it was like starting to sweep open to our right, and it was like big and vast, and like you can see things in the distance.
Yeah.
But it was upwards.
Mm-hmm. We're still talking about Emery Peak. still chatting about it as we go up.
That's right.
You know, but we're like also like 3.5 miles. Yeah, that's a thing that we're going to have to think about. So,
yeah.
So standing here, there's a ravine, a fairly sharp ravine down to the right. This isn't a ledge, it's still slope, but a lot of trees with a lot of colors. I'm seeing yellows, oranges, greens, light greens, reds. It's not even fall, but it feels like it could be.
Right. I think some things are coming in. I think some things might be also. I'm amazed that trees with leaves here are able to survive that aren't like piney trees. I feel like they must just get scorched. And I feel like that's sort of what some of what we're seeing is scorch.
Up to the right, we can see where we came into this canyon. And it was a lot higher, not a lot higher from where we are right now, but higher than where we are right now. And then we're headed off to the left, and we're not really sure exactly where it's going.
Well, there is this kind of mesa formation that's like in front of us too, to the left of the Pinnacles or the upside down boot formation. And that mesa, I'm pretty sure, is the mesa that's behind the lodge that we will have to kind of get back to.
Yeah. And then in front of us is the boot formation. And then as it goes right, there's like a few other like rolling peaks, maybe like 4 or 5. And then one final one off up to the right. As we continue on this trail, that's literally along and around the peaks over on this side of the canyon.
So this section of trail, it just feels huge. It's massive. Mm-hmm. Like the expanse over to the right. The boot is over there. We can see it. It's sort of like in this outcropping in the middle of this vast section all on its own. There's like a tiny little arch nearby. I mean, it's like, we're hugging rock to the left, not literally, but like the ledge is hugging the rock to the left, and then it's just vast open sweepingness over to the right.
Mm-hmm. At this point, we honestly are just like, where is this junction? It felt very much so that we had been hiking for a very long time, and we were ready to hit a juncture point.
Yeah.
Where is the junction?
Where is the junction? Uh-huh. We kept saying this. Mm-hmm. And like pikers would come by and we'd ask them and they'd be like, oh, it's just right over there, which is the wrong thing to ask. Anytime you ask any kind of thing about distance, no matter the answer, it's just always gonna not be a good answer.
No.
So
bring on the graham crackers and the tater tots.
That's right.
Tell us our bad news.
At this moment in time, where were you with doing MREP?
I was starting to be like, I don't know that this is going to happen.
Oh, you were starting?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I had fully. I think I'd made a decision hours ago that I was like, this ain't happening.
No. Yeah.
However, let's talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
Emery Peak is perhaps one of the only places to see Kalima warblers, which is like a type of bird that you can only see in Big Bend National Park, and it's literally at the highest peak in the Chisos, and I did not know this at the time. Neither of us did.
No.
Let me tell you this. My body hurt right then in time.
Oh, yeah.
But if I thought there would be a chance to see Kalima warblers, I'm not going to lie, I would have rallied.
Yeah.
I would have rallied.
Well, I'll say this without saying.
And I would have cried later. And we probably wouldn't have even seen any. No. But that's the reality.
I'll say
for
this
me.
Without giving too much away. I think the way to do Emery Peak is to probably hike up Pinnacles. I know what I'm saying right now. And then do it. And then just hike right back down. Like, or camp.
No.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that. I would go up Laguna Meadow. And I would rather than go to South Rim, take that Kalima Trail shortcut.
Mm.
Do this section that we're talking about, which isn't great, and then go up Emery Peak that way, and then go down Pinnacles. That would be an epic day. That would be as almost as long, if not longer, than what we're doing currently.
Yeah.
But, there is no world. Let me tell you this. I would rather walk 10 extra miles than go up Pinnacles. Things we'll get to soon.
Okay, so we have finally made it to the intersection. Yeah. We're here at the intersection of Boot Canyon Trail and Pinnacles and Emery Peak.
And it says the Chisos Basin is 3.8 miles, and that just like broke my heart a little bit. I don't think it's actually that long, but we are tired girls, and we still have a lot to go.
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot of downhill, but luckily we're going down a downhill that is very tough uphill, so it might be quick. I'm seeing some trails down there, and I'm wondering if that's what we're getting on.
It might be, yeah.
But a moment ago, two common ravens just plopped right on the top of these. And I'm wondering, there's white at the very top of these peaks.
Shit.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it's bird poop. Like birds land and they poop. Because it's not snow. And it does look like bird poop. So they might just be going there to poop. That might be the bathroom.
Yeah.
And with that, let's take our next break. Hey, everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage.
Cannoli Eclair.
Cannoli Eclair. Mm-hmm. We actually just came up with her the other night, mm-hmm. and we both just literally peed ourselves at how much we loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, we need to elevate her to sooner. We need to advance her on the docket to appear immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So Cannoli, get in here, Cannoli Eclair.
Cannoli.
Cannoli. Get in here, Cannoli Eclair. What have you been up to, Cannoli Eclair? Mm-hmm. So who is Cannoli Eclair? So is she like a baking queen?
I think so. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
She is...
She's a little chef queen.
She's a little chef queen.
A little mm-hmm. baking chef, mm-hmm. if you will.
Mm-hmm. She takes inspiration from like the strawberry shortcake realm of things.
Oh, and like I feel the animated like, character.
Right. Who was also a doll. And I think there are other dolls that are also like, you know, other dessert named dolls, in that world. So I feel like that's where she gains a lot of her inspiration from. But she's an Italian queen too. How could she not be? Cannoli, with a name like Cannoli Eclair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like her living in the world of like food,
mm-hmm.
like characters.
Mm-hmm.
Cannoli Eclair are definitely all those things. Yeah. I feel like she can like whip anything into a cannoli or an eclair, right? She can give you an eclair experience with anything, with beef, with chicken, with like with strawberry, with blueberries.
That'll be interesting. I don't know how I feel.
Not all together. I'm saying like separately.
I know, but I feel like when I think of eclairs.
Savory eclairs.
Savory eclairs.
Right? Why not? Savory cannolis.
I do feel like her, I do feel like she does a dinner show though. And she cooks everything ahead of time. Like she's the chef.
So you're eating dinner at the show.
Absolutely.
Great. So it's a high price ticket. Because it comes with dinner.
Yeah.
I like it. I live.
And I think her merch is not merch, but it's like a little box of to-go dessert that are cannolis and eclairs. And maybe some cream puffs too.
Some little minis.
Mm-hmm.
I dig this.
We haven't had a food queen, I don't think, really.
Not for a while, at least. So what music is she lip syncing to? Not Mambo Italian. We got to come up with something else.
I mean, I think like I Want Candy, like all of those candy girl. I mean, they're not like, she's not a candy queen, because then I feel like we've done that before. Mm-hmm.
Maybe Sugar Sugar.
Sugar Sugar. Yeah. Sugar Sugar.
That is I'm Your Candy Girl, right?
No. Mm-mm. Oh, yeah.
You are my candy girl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that works. I think I'm trying to think if there's any other dessert.
I feel like she probably does some waitress songs in her act.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage.
Cannoli Eclair.
All right, so we're only about a quarter of a mile into this downhill on the Pinnacles, and not gonna lie, it's not cute.
No, it's really not. It feels like going down Yosemite Falls, and it's just arduous, and you have to watch your footfall.
We did see three people who were coming up, and they just all looked so exhausted. And really glad we didn't come up this, but also like going down this is
just not fun.
Not fun. Not fun.
On our tired box.
Very, very tired.
Okay, so we finally hit the moment where we are now on the Pinnacles Trail.
Yes, having decided that Emery Peak, which literally is at the juncture there for Pinnacles, was not what we were going to do.
Not our journey on this day.
We made our way down to Pinnacles. It was interesting to see who was coming up and what they had with them, which was not a lot.
No, there were people with like just like a bottle of water.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm dying going down.
Yeah.
How are you doing this going up right now?
Yeah.
I'm not prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, this grade was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like the downward grade was so
dumb.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Hated it. It was, we were cussing.
And it was
bad.
Yeah, it wasn't great. And this is also where it's just rocky ass trail. Like all over the place. That's not flat. It's like ankle twisters the entire way, essentially. Oh,
this was so unpleasant in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And we were flying down this trail mostly because we were done.
We were done for the day.
We are over this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also very painful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really didn't understand why people were coming up the trail.
Maybe they were taking my suggestion and going up Emery Peak.
Okay, well, I think that's a bad That's bad advice. That's bad advice. You gave people bad advice to go up Pinnacles.
I gave them bad advice in the future for them to do it in the past.
Correct.
Because I'm a time traveler.
Well, you know, you're the memory keeper's daughter.
And I haven't solved other things yet.
You're all of the things when it comes to time.
If only I was the time traveler's wife.
Well, right. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, she couldn't keep track of him, though. He kept time traveling.
Yeah.
Right. So I was like, did people not hear this, the ranger? And I'm like, obviously I know, like, but I feel like the ranger said that, like, every other piece of advice from the ranger when we were in there was, don't go up the Pinnacles, go up the other way.
It's true.
Go up Laguna Meadow. Yeah. Like, she probably said that at least 11 times in the 10 minutes we were sitting in that visitor center.
Well, it's clear that people didn't go to the visitor center then.
It's true.
And they were like, oh, Pinnacles, that sounds
well,
fun.
Well, just do that. And I'm like, honey, you got to read up.
Yeah.
The switchbacks here were super immediate. They were super awful. Like, going down, they were so
unpleasant.
This is
just complain train on the way down here.
I mean, it is complain train.
We were really miserable at this point.
We were miserable.
It wasn't, like, the other thing is, the one thing I will say is, like, this is a trail, aside from the crappiness of the grade and the rocks, there's not a lot of view. Like, you're in the forest a lot of the times here, which there's some shade because of it, but you don't, like, I can't imagine coming up this, having come up Laguna Meadow in the morning and seeing, just not even in the morning, just seeing the views that you get from Laguna Meadow, you're in trees the entire way up. So it was kind of like, okay, well, if this is our end, we've had fantastic views the whole way. Okay, I'm already tired and my brain can't process anything. I'm fine with it. But yeah, it's nothing that's special as far as views go.
And like, when in the moment when you do get a view, it's the same view, like from the same vantage point, essentially the whole time. There, the other thing was the sign up at the top said it was 3.8 miles to the visitor center, and our map said it was just a little bit over two. So when we saw that, things died inside of us a little bit.
Everything died inside of us.
So we're on the way down. It's very tiring.
I just want to be back.
And
has come and gone.
The wall has come. We decided not to do Emery Peak. The ranger wasn't too keen on suggesting it, and we did like note that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But on our way down, we're sort of in this like, it's a pretty decent slope down. Could you?
No.
Oh, God. No, nobody. Everybody, don't go down Pinnacles. I mean, don't go up Pinnacles. Come down Pinnacles. But there's a log here, and it definitely has a face that is emblematic of, well, you said a crocodile.
Right.
And I'm saying Falcor from Neverending Story. I'm going to take that again. Neverending Story. It just has a kindness to its size.
Yeah, I'm tired.
And ooh, did we hit the wall?
Mm-hmm.
The wall was just not, it was not just hit. It was like eroded and had disintegrated.
Yeah. And this is why I understand why those women that we saw hiking down Laguna Meadows were like, fuck the Pinnacles. Because truly, we did think that there was going to maybe be a little bit of a, you know, reprieve in the, you know, the decline grade, but nope. It was very steep the entire way.
Yeah.
And as we got toward the end, the grade started to adjust just a bit. This is where we're sort of in this mix of full sun and exposure and then some tree coverage.
And so here was when like the level of like anger and complaining that we're doing right now was showing up on the trail because there were definitely, we were still like pointing out the things about going down the Pinnacles that we enjoyed, even though we were hating it the whole time.
Yeah.
But there were some things to see. But by the time we got here, we were like, there's nothing to see anymore. We can't see the view.
Yeah.
The sun is right on us. Like there's trees up on all around. And it's like, but the trees aren't covering the sun.
No.
And it just really, the trail was not winning for us in any kind of way.
No.
All right. So now you're getting the real version of the both of us. At the end of a trail, woof. Okay, this is, yeah, the Pinnacle sucks, man. Like, going down is terrible. I would never wish for anyone to go up. Also, just going to say it, the views from Laguna Meadow, way more interesting than the views from here.
Yep, absolutely. You just get more sweeping openness, and this is just kind of forested switchbacks with gravelly paths.
So many gravelly paths and like big boulder paths too. Well, like, you know, medium-sized bouldered paths too. And the incline is significant here because this decline is very significant. We have definitely tripped and almost ate it a few times. Yep, we are thrilled to be done with this.
As we start to make our way down towards the bottom of the Pinnacles, there were some hikers that were coming up who stopped to chat with us for a moment.
This was a great moment because it was these two women and they were like, oh, so how is it up there? And we were like, turn around. Do not do that to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We were like, well, do you want to enjoy the rest of your day?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, is it really hard? And we were like, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard and not pleasant. Mm-hmm. And they were like, well, really, we're just going to...
Our plan was to just hike a little bit until we didn't want to anymore and turn around.
And then turn around. Yeah. And we were like, okay,
that's
well,
a great plan. Yeah.
If you're going to do that, that's fine.
Yeah.
But we were like, I was like, if you want to go high up there, like just go back down and go over to Laguna Meadow and go up that way. It's so much better.
It's easier and better and just like 1,000 times more interesting too. As we continue on past these hikers, we finally emerge from the trees. This is like a little bit more of, it felt like fieldy at this point and sparse, like sparse tree cover. But we do emerge and we do see the visitor center and we were, okay, we've got like a mile, if that, to go.
Well.
Wow. We read a sign that we really were dissatisfied with.
And what did that sign say?
Due to something happening in 2019, the Pinnacles Trail has been rerouted. So your maps and GPS may not actually accurately reflect exactly what's happening.
So now... the reroute of this is bringing us uphill again. And so, yeah. So, if you ever wanted to hear the voices of two tired queens on a trail, this is
You've
it.
Come to the right place.
You've come to the right place. Woo! No thanks.
Okay, so we had to go a different way.
Right, than what our map told us.
And how did you feel about that?
Dead. I was honestly, I felt the most
mad.
Dead. Mad.
That was like
rage.
Salt White on the wound. Insult to injury. We were so done.
Mm-hmm.
Cooked, burned,
my
well
feet
done.
Was just like, my feet were, they felt the worst.
Angry.
Yeah, angry feet.
And I remember like getting... like we had to, this added a mile to the end of the trail for us.
Yeah.
Because we could have taken the little half mile connector back to the visitor center, but it was closed. So we essentially had to take a different connector
which
to the
like
trail
a little
we
wind,
started
windy,
on.
So back to the small connector trails.
To those little connectors and do all of those back to the visitor center another way.
Which wasn't even the visitor center. It dropped us off at the like the lodge. Like,
which is essentially the same place.
But it dropped us in the way back by like the villas that were there. Like the houses you could rent. Not even like the hotel-y part of the lodge. And then like we had to walk through the parking lot. Which that was reprieve.
That was reprieve. Feet on. On the flat, like, you know.
It was paved. It was like...
paved asphalt was great. That was wonderful.
Yeah.
And we were like, okay, let's do ourselves a favor and let's drop our bags at the car.
And just
and then
snack.
We're going to go sit on that bench right outside that little store. We're going to get some snacks and we're just going to eat.
And this is something that, like, we will often sit and do this, but we never sit for as long as we sat. We sat for, like, a full hour here.
It was so funny.
Just
because
to, like, decompress.
I went in the store to get snacks because you were like, my goose is cooked. I'm not getting up from this
bench. Get me something with caffeine.
Get me something with caffeine, and there better be some Fritos twists involved. And wouldn't you know it, they had them. And so we got those. There were a couple. We got a bunch of snacks. I think we got M&Ms.
We were just like, we deserve it.
Went for it.
Yeah.
And so came out. We sat down. We're eating snacks. There was a guy sitting like a bench away from us who ended up being from Philly.
Yeah.
We were talking to him. And then this hiker that we had seen at the like the other end
the
of the trail.
The junction point for Boot Canyon and South Rim.
Who we were showing her the videos of the Raven, Marisa, she showed up and she was like, oh my God, did y'all finish? Like,
she had gone up Pinnacles.
And she had gone up Pinnacles and come back around Laguna. And she was staying at the lodge. So she just went back to her room and freshened up and then like was taking a little walk for herself. And so we were chatting with her and lo and behold,
she was from New Jersey.
She was literally a teacher from like a neighboring town. We were like, excuse me, what?
Yeah.
And so we had a blast just chatting.
Yeah.
And then it ended up, you know, the guy from Philly and we were all from the same area. We were all talking about it. And it was a lovely time.
It was.
There.
Yeah.
And then we, as soon as we were, well, we finished the conversation with them and then we sat there and snacked some more. And then we looked at the time and we had been there for an entire hour.
Yeah. We never do that. But it was honestly, our bodies were in need of it.
And because we were gluttons for punishment, we did not
stop there.
We ended up going to the dinosaur exhibit at another part in the park. All right. It's time.
It is time.
We're putting the whole loop on the Karen Stone scale, and then we're going to put the different sections on the Karen Stone scale.
Okay.
Let's do the whole loop first. The whole loop. What are you giving this whole loop?
An 8.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's way low.
Okay. It's not a 10 for me.
It's a 9.5 for me.
Okay.
It's a 9.5.
Because honestly, the worst part was the end. And I'm not going to let that.
Oh, that's very true.
Everything else was like, it was epic. It was difficult. It was strenuous at parts. But I honestly found that the last like third of it was the worst. And I'm not going to tank it like because it's that, because of that.
It's a part of it. I think, you know, it's a part of the loop.
That's why it's an 8. Journey. That's why it's an 8. I still feel like that's high. I haven't given many 8s. So it's 17.5 out of 20.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so Laguna Meadow Trail.
Laguna Meadow is, I would say, a 5 for me.
Those switchbacks were tough. I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay.
So
a 12 out of 20.
12 out of 20 Karen Stones. Mm-hmm. Okay, what about the South Rim Trail?
South Rim is a 5 as well.
It's a 6 for me.
Okay.
So we're going 11 out of 20. Boot Canyon.
Boot Canyon, because it was decline, it wasn't too bad. It's a 4 for me.
No, it also was the incline.
Oh, it was that incline.
Afterwards to get
all right,
to the junction.
It's a 6.
Just a 6?
Yeah, because there was all the other stuff. God, you're so critical.
I am critical. I'm giving it a 7.5.
Okay. So 13.5 out of
13
20.
13.5.
And Pinnacles. Yeah.
Pinnacles.
It's a 10.
Is a 10.
Yeah.
Pinnacles is a 10.
If I went up Pinnacles, it would be a 20 just for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Pinnacles is a 10.
Yeah.
That, oh,
that
God,
shit
that trail. That trail. 20 out of 20 Karen Stones.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this, though. Or let me ask this question.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go up and back down Pinnacles, or you got to go up and back down Yosemite Falls? Which one are you going to pick?
Oh, that's tricky. Yosemite Falls, because the views were more interesting, and it was, you know, I would be occupied by that. It's long, but I don't care. That's what my answer is. But be critical.
I'm trying to base it on my body hated which one more.
Right.
I think my body hated Yosemite Falls more, and I would pick the Pinnacles.
Ah.
This is the only circumstance in which that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I would rather watch Bye Bye Birdie again. I would rather watch an under-rehearsed production of Bye Bye Birdie before I hike the Pinnacles. And now let's end this episode, like we end all of our episodes, with some Jeopardy style trivia. So Mike, we talked a lot on this trail about how we are just like Southern women who have, you know, who are tired and who, because we had all of the sunscreen we were wearing that was like seeping into our eyes.
Oh God, that's right.
And so we looked like we could perform scenes from Steel Magnolias. Uh-huh.
But my daughter never could.
Exactly. So my category of Jeopardy is name that character who said it in Steel Magnolias.
Great.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a quote. And you just got to tell me who said it in Steel Magnolias. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
For 100. I find it amusing. Men are supposed to be made out of steel or something. Also, is it, I didn't give you the hits here. I gave you the deep
I know. Jeez. Mm-hmm. Is that, is it Olympia Dukakis's character?
Clary. Incorrect.
Is it Malin?
It's Malin.
Okay, that's what I thought. But you sounded you intonated more Olympia Dukakis than
well,
you did
I'm
Malin.
Well, I'm
going
to use the same intonation okay, the whole great. Time. For 200, there, my secret is out. I was having an affair with a Mercedes Benz.
Who is Shelby?
Incorrect.
Oh God. Who is Clary?
Incorrect.
Oh, God.
Who is
Weezer?
Weezer. That is right.
These are the deep cuts. Damn.
For 300. I haven't left the house without Lycra on these legs since I was 14.
Who is, who's Truvy?
That is correct. Okay. It is Truvy, played by
Dolly.
For 400. Also, there's six of these.
Okay, great. Just torture me.
You can't screw up her hair. You just tease it and make it look like a brown football helmet.
Who's Shelby?
That is correct.
Yeah.
For 500, the only thing that separates us from the animals is our ability to accessorize.
Who is Clary?
That is
See,
correct.
You
that
did
is Clary.
Her voice there.
For 600, I don't know if you would hire someone who may or may not be married to someone who might be a dangerous criminal.
Who is Annette? Or Nell.
Annelle,
sorry.
Her name is Annelle, and that is correct.
Great. All right. Well, I went in a very different direction here.
We love it when you do.
Yeah. Mine is titled Pinnacles Synonyms. So you're going to give me a synonym for the word pinnacle.
I like this.
For 100, this synonym for pinnacle sounds like fancy, often bejeweled headwear for royalty.
What is crown?
That's correct. For 200, this synonym for pinnacle may also relate to the juiciest part of a novel or the finishing act of a bedroom encounter.
What is climax?
Yep. For 300, this synonym for pinnacle is also the name of a Mid-Atlantic Northeast grocery store, as well as the name of the company Wile E. Coyote often orders from.
What is Acme?
That's correct.
These are also like all crossword puzzle words.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. true. For 400, this synonym for pinnacle was also once the name of a prominent American television brand before it sold off its shares to LG.
I'm going to take a few guesses.
Okay.
What is Sony?
No.
What is Samsung?
No.
What is PV?
No.
What is...
It's a 400, but the 500 is absolutely a 500, so...
Toshiba?
No.
What is that?
What is Zenith?
Oh, a Zenith. Okay, yeah.
And for 500, this synonym for pinnacles is often used in astronomy to denote the furthest distance from something. Its antonym is perigee.
Does this word end in GY?
It's, well, perigee is G-E-E.
G-E-E. Mm-hmm. Does it end in G-E? What is terigee?
No.
I don't know.
Incorrect. What is apogee?
Apogee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, learned mm-hmm. a new word today.
There
I like
go.
That.
Mm-hmm. And that's Pinnacle Synonyms.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. And that's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram, on our website, and in the Gaze Shop is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. This episode was edited by me, Dustin Ballard.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we are on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as Ocean County, New Jersey.